Hello, and welcome to Mr. Mar's History Podcast. Google Mr. Mar History to get more help with Nationals Higher and Advanced Higher History. In today's episode, we're going to be discussing the Battle of Falkirk, and also looking at events which took place after this conflict. After victory at the Battle of Stirling Bridge, William Wallace set about securing Scotland's independence, and this included attacking England. King Edward was extremely angry by this, and thus led a huge army north to try and rid himself of the problem Wallace was causing. The Battle of Falkirk was not planned by Wallace in the way that Stirling Bridge had been. Edward did not know where Wallace was when he marched north, and he'd almost given up in his look for him. However, he was informed by two Scottish nobles where he could find Falkirk, who was hiding just north of Falkirk. Wallace's plan had been to wait until the English army headed for Edinburgh to try and get more supplies. He hoped to attack small groups of English soldiers, including their rearguard. He was therefore surprised by Edward's decision to attack in July 1298. The English army at Falkirk was very different from that which Wallace had fought against at Stirling Bridge. For one thing, it was led by their king, Edward, who was a very experienced and successful military leader. It was also much larger. There was up to 2,000 cavalry and also up to 12,000 soldiers, many of whom had longbows. The Scottish army was also stronger than at Stirling Bridge, although not quite as large as Wallace had hoped. The Scots had around 6,000 soldiers, who were organised into three pike squadrons of 2,000 each. They also had 600 knights on horseback, and also longbow archers too. The Scottish army was positioned behind a boggy marsh. Wallace hoped that this would stop a frontal attack from the English. The English cavalry attacked the Scots' two flanks by going at the sides, and this allowed them to avoid the boggy area. The strength of the English attack drove the Scots' cavalry from the battlefield. This meant that Scotland's squadrons were now undefended, and they were at the mercy of English archer attacks. After the English archers had attacked, their foot soldiers did the same, with the Scots either being killed or fleeing, in many cases heading towards the Callander Wood. Wallace and his commanders also fled, burning Stirling Town as they did so to try and stop it falling into English hands. They found safety in the Tor Wood. There was many reasons for Scottish defeat at the Battle of Falkirk. Some claim that the cavalry was to blame, although most accounts do suggest that they fought bravely against a bigger army. The timing was also said to be a problem. Many believed the Scots should not have taken part in a battle when they had not prepared fully for it, and should have waited for a better opportunity. The location also hurt the Scots. It did mean that the English could not attack from the front, but it also made it difficult for the Scottish squadrons to move. The use of squadrons was also a problem because they weren't mobile enough, and as such they couldn't easily attack the English. Wallace himself also took much of the blame for the defeat. Many said that his lack of military experience meant that the Scots had poor tactics. Shortly after the battle, Wallace resigned his guardianship of Scotland. Two of the replacement guardians for him were John Comyn and Robert the Bruce. In the years after Falkirk, the Scots found other ways to oppose English rule. In 1299, some Scots travelled to Rome to try and win the Pope's support on issues such as Edward's treatment of Scotland and also the fate of King John Balliol. Eventually, King John was released into the Pope's custody. The Scots also took part in military action against the English, and this included attacking their garrisons and forts. The Scots won back control of some of the north of Scotland, and they created fear amongst the English occupiers across the country. Edward, however, fought back. This included attending sieges at places and castles across Scotland using siege engines, such as a trebuchet, which is a type of catapult. The Scots lost the support of the French in 1303 after they agreed a treaty with England. The Pope, in 1302, also failed to support Scotland and in fact blamed the Scottish bishops for the wars. Edward's final invasion of Scotland in 1303 and 1304 saw him take control of castles and towns right across the country, including Stirling Castle. He attacked here using the famous Warwolf trebuchet. Edward offered amnesty to various Scottish leaders. This allowed them to keep their lands if they pledged allegiance to him. Edward also promised to respect Scottish laws and customs. After 1297, little is known of Wallace's activities. It's suggested that he may have travelled to France and Rome to try and win support for Scotland's cause. If so, he had returned to Scotland by 1303, but was hunted by the English. Unlike other Scottish leaders, he was not offered amnesty. In August 1305, Wallace was betrayed by a Scot, Sir John Menteith. He was captured in Rob Royston, just outside Glasgow, and taken to London for trial. Wallace was found guilty of treason at this trial, and he was hanged, drawn, and quartered on the same day. Parts of his body were sent to different towns, and his head was placed on a stick on London Bridge as a warning to anyone else who dared challenge Edward's rule.